MojoBreak.com.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to the MojoBreak.com Sports Card Show Podcast, Episode 21. Couldn't think of a better name than Neon Primetime Sanders.
Primetime, baby. Primetime.
Even though it's 9:17 a.m., like you said earlier, we're not in primetime, but we are running back interceptions.
Well, I mean, maybe people who are listening to it, they're listening to it at primetime.
That's true.
You know? So that's why I didn't want to throw that out there, because I'm like, we're not recording at primetime, but, you know, maybe the listener's listening at primetime. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I'm Doug Fresh.
I'm Dan Rage.
And it's been a little while. It's been over a month since we've been able to do a podcast, so there's just this extreme buildup of sports card nest news that we want to just drop on you. We're going to talk about the football season that's going to hit in a couple days. We already had one game. We're going to talk about baseball, and then at the end of the podcast, we're going to have like a quick hit discussion of products that have came out. We're not going to really review all of them, but we're going to talk about the finer points and the not so finer points, for lack of a better word there. But wanted to jump right into football. What did you think of the first game?
You know, it's pretty solid. I mean, Dallas is going to be pretty good. Like I was telling you before, Dallas may take the NFC, man. They got some weapons. I mean, I know everybody's going to jump on the Ogletree bandwagon, but that guy had a game last year that was also pretty good. I don't think he's going to be the guy, but you know, they got some weapons. I think Dez is going to have a big year. Murray looks like the real deal. Miles Austin, I mean, he had a pretty sick touchdown. And Romo looks like he's sharper than ever.
Yeah, definitely. I had a decision, speaking of fantasy, I had a decision to start Romo or Ryan, and I unfortunately picked Ryan, so we'll see if that decision paid off. But you're right. I think that either the Giants looked really bad or the Cowboys' just offense looks to be running on all cylinders on Wednesday.
You going with Matty Natty Ice?
Natty Ice, yep. He's my guy. So we'll see if that pays off. I figure he has a lot of weapons, and you know, I don't know about Turner, but I just think Julio and Roddy White is going to be some good weapons for him.
Julio, Rod White, and don't forget the ageless wonder, TG, Tony Gonzalez.
Is he playing? Did they pick him up off the PUP list?
Dude, yeah, he's got to be playing. Is that bad knowledge?
I don't know. I heard he was injured and he may not play, or he may or may not play, is what I heard.
I saw him in a preseason game. If he got hurt, it must have been late in the preseason.
Yeah,
because early in the preseason, I saw him out there, you know, running routes, dunking over the goalpost.
Did he patent that move? I think he was the first to do that, right?
Yeah. Now Jimmy Graham does it.
Now haters be hating.
Now haters be hating.
Everybody does it now. Anybody who you know, comes out that's relatively tall, because I don't think Russell Wilson would be able to do it, or Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie couldn't do it.
But what did you think of
Jeff Garcia? Couldn't do it.
Yeah, he probably would have been like a little layup, like a Steve Nash, you know, like a little
fader. Haters be hating.
I wouldn't come close. I couldn't even dunk on an 8-foot rim. So
don't hate on Stevie Nash.
What do you think of David Wilson, man? I you know, he had a lot of hype. He had a couple good preseason games, and then he fumbled the ball and he cried. He was literally on the sideline crying.
Well, you know, a lot of emotions going through. First game, you know, puts the ball on the turf. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm not too high on that guy. I think I know Jacobs went to your Fighting 49ers, but they still have Bradshaw. Bradshaw's the guy. Bradshaw's got at least 3-4 more years left in him. That guy's not that old, so.
I think he's got 2 or 3 games left in him, honestly. But
really,
yeah.
David Wilson's gonna be a spellback. That guy's gonna get like maybe like 5 to 10 touches a game. So you should drop him off your fantasy team.
What are you gonna tell collectors about that that jumped on the hype train? Sell now?
No, hold on to it. I mean, I just don't see anything this year for him. I didn't say his career's over after one fumble.
I think he pretty much did. You said he cried.
No, I didn't. No, you said he cried. I didn't bring up the crying. There's no crying in football.
There's a tear in his beer. You know, but no, I thought he was going to be like in the top 10. That's what I thought. That Maude Bradshaw's
top 10 out of rookie running backs.
Top
10 out of the NFL.
top 10 in the NFL, I think.
Wow. It's pretty early. I didn't know you start smoking weed at 9:22 in the morning.
Well, you know, I got to get, that's how I get my thoughts rolling around in my head, you know, so.
Okay.
I quit the crack 5 years ago. Come on, man. I got to have a crutch, you know.
I'm off the shit.
So, yeah, football's exciting. We had our fantasy draft. We did an industry fantasy league, and to tell you listeners about it, basically there's 10 of us in the league. We got I'm probably going to forget somebody because it's totally on the fly, but we got Sports Card Radio. We got Sports Collectors Daily. We have Team Box Break. We have Tracy Hackler. We have K2 Sports Cards, Field Level View. We have Sports Cards and More. We have Card Shop Finder, and there's probably, like I said, there's probably one more I'm totally forgetting.
Did you name us?
Oh, yeah, Mojobrick in the league. We had our draft, and what we're going to – what the stakes were is that everybody's putting up an $80 to $100 hobby box, and the winner of the league championship at the end of the year, week 16, will get 7 boxes. Second place will get 2 boxes, and – third place will get 1, and what we decided to do is if we win, we'll do a break with those 7 boxes. So we'll be doing it for our listeners, Twitter followers, Facebook. We'll have some kind of contest, but of course we got to win first. I know we're pretty good at what we do, but still 16 grueling weeks. How did you think our draft went?
You know, it was pretty good. Got AP.
Yeah.
Got LeSean McCoy, right?
Yeah, LeSean, we wound up with the 5th.
I like how it's a question mark because I didn't do the draft.
You were there vicariously, you know, so.
That's why you get paid the long money, though. I mean, 4 championships, why should I even have input? I mean, you're a legend.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't have an ego like that. You know,
wow.
At least in public, so. You know, I may say that to you guys, but
this guy walked in the round table in our other league where he's won 4 times in a row with an entourage around him.
Haynesworth, yeah, I know. Albert Haynesworth is
no, he was in your entourage.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm not playing football. He's like, you know, I gotta give it up to Doug. He's brought me where I am today.
And I had Justin Bieber carrying one of my championship belts too, and
your trophy.
Yeah, and 50 Cent too, just like. Money Mayweather did. But, the first pick was LeSean McCoy, which we had the 5th pick in the draft. So, surprisingly, LeSean McCoy fell to us. On the way back, Cam Newton, you know, scam Cam Newton. And then that's when we picked AP, which third round AP, a little questionable. But if he does return to form, a third round pick looks pretty good.
I think the first 6 weeks, you're looking at like 15 touches a week for AP. And then he'll get back to the original AP. He'll finish off the season 22, 25 touches.
Yeah, and the guy's a man beast. I mean, he has the work ethic of one of the greats like Jerry Rice. So he recovers fast, and I think he'll I don't even think it's going to take that long. I think it's going to be week 2 or week 3.
I thought you were going to say like the work ethic like Lawrence Phillips. I was like
running over kids at high school football fields.
Sometimes you got to do it.
Is that what cures you ACLs?
You can't let the kids show you up.
You got to do whatever it takes, man.
Sometimes you got to get in your car and just start trying to run some people over.
And luckily we picked up the, and this is obviously people at home know that I'm a white man. But we picked up Toby Gerhart to spell Adrian Peterson. But the reason why I mentioned his race is because I usually am not a big – white skill position player rather than quarterback and
wow. So you're saying if you're white, you got to get in the trenches.
Yeah, you pretty much, you got to be a quarterback, a kicker, or a tight end. No offensive linemen. Yeah, they're pretty good too.
Niners have Justin Smith and he's on the defensive line.
Skill position players.
Dude, games are won in the trenches, man. The guys in the trenches are the ones that win games.
And, we did go with one white skill position player, and I'm putting this all on you if he fails, because it's your man crush, Eric Decker.
Ah, the Deck.
He's in our flex.
Guy's going to be like Wes Welker, not because he's white, just because.
Yeah, just because.
Yeah.
Are you sure he's white? He may be half Filipino or something.
Dude, he's going to be badass. Dude, it's going to be good. Don't worry. That's going to be a big pickup.
And rounding out the rest of our team, we have Brandon Marshall, Marquez Colston, Aaron Hernandez, Niners D, Rob Baronis. Our bench consists of, well, AP's on our bench right now because we got Toby Gerhardt starting, but Donald Brown, Nate Washington, Shane Vereen, Jared Cook, Greg Little, Russell Wilson, and the Bills D. So that rounds out the rest of our team. I'm not as confident on our team as I am in some of my other leagues, but I think we got some really good value with Brandon Marshall, Cam Newton in the second round. There was like six quarterbacks off the board, so it was almost a move that needed to be made. Aaron Hernandez has a chance to be a number one tight end. And
Well, you got Aaron Hernandez super late.
Yeah, I think it was like a sixth rounder.
Yeah, I mean, he, in every other draft, he's going like third or fourth round.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, there's going to be some S talking. Follow us on Twitter for that. We'll definitely be mentioning having you help on our lineup moves and maybe some of our trash talking between friends in the league. So, and once again, thanks to everybody that did join the league. So I'm going to make sure I didn't forget anybody. Yeah, we have All About Cards is the team I forgot. So All About Cards, Baseball Nut is the 10th team in the league. So we'll see.
Stop talking trash.
So back on the same topic of NFL, we got some rookies. This is a heavy rookie class. I think we got seven starting quarterbacks, or at least five right now. And
I think there's five.
There's five guys, and I think there's some potential that there could be seven by the end of the year based on, you know, some veteran that may not be so good. Who do you think is going to stand out? The obvious ones are RG3 and Luck. Who do you think is going to be right behind those guys as far as value in the card industry and performance on the field?
My number three guy, besides, I think Griffin's going to have a better year than Luck, at least the first year. Luck may have a better career after everything's said and done. But my number three guy would be Tannehill for sure. That guy, you know, I've watched all of Hard Knocks. A guy looks like he's got the talent, man. Yeah. And he's going to do it without the weapons either. I mean, can you name a receiver on the Dolphins?
Yeah, since they got rid of Ocho and Fly High Clyde Gates, you know.
And I don't think Devon Bess is on the team anymore.
I think it is Devon Bess.
That's it?
I think that's it. I think that's the only guy. Which Brian Hartline is not on the team anymore?
I don't think so.
Let me see if I can pull up their little squad here.
They just signed somebody though. Somebody who got released. God, who was it?
Depth chart. I'm pulling up the depth chart on the old computer here. So we got, Devon Bess is wide receiver two. R. Matthews is number one, whoever that is. Legadu Nene is on the roster. They have M. Moore as receiver two behind Devon Bess. Is that Matt Moore? Matt Moore playing receiver two?
I don't think Matt Moore is playing receiver.
Rashard Matthews is the starter, whoever that is. I think it was a guy they drafted last year, right?
Yeah, dude, it's... They still have Fasano. Anthony Fasano is a tight end.
Yeah.
Did Michael Agnew make the team?
I would think, they're not showing him on the depth chart here, but that doesn't mean anything. I know he was drafted this year.
Guy had some struggles, man. Didn't look good for him.
Before we move off the Dolphins, who do you think is going to be better out of the two running backs there? This is also going to affect rookie cards from last year. You got Bush and Thomas. Who do you think is going to be the more valuable back at the end of the year?
That's hard to say, man. Bush, it's a little late for him to start becoming like an every down back. I mean, you think he's been in the league for what, 6-7 years now?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like he's found his youth. And he's not getting as hurt as much as he used to. At least last year, it was really solid. But I think Daniel Thomas is built to be an every down back, but he also had injury problems as well last year. So I don't know. I think they're going to be a typical run by committee team. They're both going to get like 10 to 15 touches apiece.
Well, and they also, number third on the depth chart is Steve Slayton. You never know. It could be a resurgence. Could be like a Fred Jackson coming through there, you know. Probably not, but...
Slayton had one good year for the Texans.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's got some potential. But Reggie Bush, yeah, towards the end of the year last year, and I know because I had him on my fantasy team, but he was getting like 20 to 30 carries, and he was involved in a lot of dump-offs last year. So he was
getting
a lot of work.
I can't see him sustaining through a whole season 20 to 30 carries. He's just not built that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, the one thing that he does have over Daniel Thomas is that he is a hell of a receiver. So, you know, that might get him more snaps for sure. But, I mean, he is the starting guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely see. I think from a fantasy standpoint, Daniel Thomas is almost going undrafted. So it might be a guy if you have an extra bench spot to stash him away and see what happens. Because they're
got to stash away Mikel LeSure, too.
Yeah, okay. He's only suspended for like one or two games. And then
two games, and I mean – he's going to come in. He may be the starting guy.
Yeah, I would that'd be a strong buy for me in the card industry right now is some Mikel LeSure cards, because right now it's – I mean, the stock's probably a little higher than it was 2 months ago, but it's still lower. I mean, the guy has one good game. Lions cards, skill position players seem to raise in value. They got a pretty big following. So if you pick up some Mikel LeSure cards now for cheap, you may be able to make some money on them. So there's a couple –
And there's no shortage.
There's definitely no shortage.
We pulled a one or two or 50 Mikel LeSure cards last year. So
absolutely, yeah,
they're out there.
Definitely. And another guy, there's a couple guys that got hurt last year. Ryan Williams is another guy that I think. Beanie Wells, let's just face it. I mean, Beanie Wells is Beanie Wells. I don't think he's gonna last past week five. He's had injuries his whole career, so I think Ryan Williams, are saying the guy is extremely talented. Now, he's coming off an injury too, but you can get him for – I mean, you could probably get a decent card under $10, a nice jersey auto right now. So that might be another guy you can invest in.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, at least the Lions are built for success. I mean, They have good defense, solid offense. They – have a good passing game, so they can basically build the running game off of that. The Cardinals, not so much.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. I mean,
throwing out Skelton, man. Their defense isn't bad, but throwing out Skelton, I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain too many drives.
I mean, they do have Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald, so if Skelton can throw the ball anywhere near those two guys,
they do have Skelton as well.
Skelton, come on, man. He's the next coming of Aaron Rodgers. What are you talking about?
I mean, what happened to Kevin Cobb?
Kevin Cobb happened to Kevin Cobb. They told him that they were looking for Peyton Manning, and he's pretty much almost quit football altogether. And then they said,
back. He looks terrified back there.
Well, it's proof in the pudding that you can't really base a guy's, you know, one game on how much you're going to pay the guy. The guy had a couple good games in freaking Philadelphia, and
no, he had like half a seasons. I mean, he Vic was hurt for a lot of time. I mean, I would say Cobb probably started like 8 to 10 games in a 2 year span.
Yeah, well, I mean, then you take him from an offense that has like all those weapons, you know, running backs, receivers, tight ends, and you put him in an offense that just has Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, you pretty much he was kind of. He moved up from the Hollywood Hills down to the ghetto as far as talent-wise, and you expect him to succeed. He's just not going to.
I don't know, man. They have early Doucette. They've had him for a couple years.
If I had a crickets thing, I'd push it right now.
They have Andre Roberts.
Yeah, he's been around for a little while.
See? Dot Posey's like early Doucette.
Yeah, I know. There's a guy blowing leaves. She doesn't like it. My dog. She's either that or you're right. She could be an early Doucette fan, really big one.
Well, I mean, she's sitting there. She's like, finally. She's like, this whole podcast has been going on for 22 minutes and nobody's talked about early Doucette yet. What's going on?
He is on her fantasy team. She's in a doggy league. So, but we hit a. I think the hype right now after Griffin and Luck, sales wise, is Russell Wilson.
He's a quarterback.
Is he?
Sure? He's a quarterback.
But I think people see the possibilities of a you know, with the legs and how he's, you know, he won the job over Matt Flynn. So people are heavily investing in Russell Wilson right now. What do you think? I mean, do you think he's got Matt Flynn? I mean, he's got a couple starts where if he fails, Matt Flynn's going to be right in there. What do you think? Is he going to be the starter at the end of the year, or is Matt Flynn going
to
be?
I think Matt Flynn's going to be. I was extremely surprised to see that Wilson actually got the job. Pete Carroll does things out of the ordinary. I mean, I don't know about that guy, but I mean, you go out and you spend so much money on Matt Flynn, and you basically make him your franchise quarterback, and he doesn't get the job in his first training camp. I don't get it. Like, Russell Wilson was a second or third round pick.
He was.
I had Matt Flynn tagged that he was going to be just the franchise quarterback. They were just going to roll with him, see what happens, go 2-3 years. But, I mean, he doesn't even get the job out of – either he looked really bad or Russell Wilson looked amazing. I don't know. Maybe there's things that we don't know. Maybe Matt Flynn just wasn't getting the system.
Maybe he was just walking around beating people's wives.
That's probably not. Probably not it.
Or he was, I don't know. But no, just trying.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think Russell Wilson is going to be a flop.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go 3 games. Seattle's going to get blown out 3 games in a row. Offense is going to look like crap, and you're going to see Matt Flynn. And then, I mean, Seattle's not going to be a great team.
Well, from our standpoint, we kind of would hope that would happen, being guys that support NFC West teams, because if that happens, that means that they're 0-4, and that's good for our division, for us.
I think at that point, the Rams would have a win.
That's true. I think you guys play with them that first 4 weeks.
That would be half of the total wins that we had in 2011.
Wow, that's stepping in. The season's already a success at that point.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can only go up from there. When you go 2-14, I mean, your expectations going into the next season are not huge.
But
6-10 is good.
6-10, that's maybe a 10th round or 10th overall pick, right? Unless you guys trade back, of course, trade back 10 times. Then you might wind up with a third round pick.
Keep on trading back until we end up in the third round with fucking 14 picks.
Yeah, exactly. Quantity over quality. But I think, the obvious running back picks are Doug Martin. They're saying this guy is going to be the real deal. LeGarrette Blount's, not going to be the guy. And then we just talked about David Wilson. So those are the two guys. I'm actually thinking this. My sleeper in the card industry is I think Reuben Randle from the Giants is going to step it up. They have Nix and Cruz, of course, but they're going to need a third receiver to step up to Phil Manningham's shoes. And I think Reuben Randle has a talent to fill those shoes. So we definitely shall see there, but that's my pick. So we'll see at the end of the year if Reuben Randle even performs. But so
didn't the Giants have a – what about a Jernigan?
They have Jernigan too. He was running back. He was running back kicks, but I've heard that they don't like the routes he runs and stuff like that. He's not there yet.
I mean, so there's guys that were in last year's products that one of those guys is going to have a breakout year this year. So I mean, you look at all the guys that you pulled last year. You look at Leonard Hankerson, maybe Robert Griffin. I mean, you don't know, they may have some kind of connection. Greg Little is another guy. There's my boy Cecil Shorts the third. That's probably not going to happen, but
yeah, I mean it is.
But you never know. And then there's guys who had a pretty good year last year who might blow up. I mean, look at Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith might be a guy that you can go out there and get his cards for cheap. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff out there.
And he's what, second on the depth chart, and Anquan Boldin is not getting any younger. So.
And you got Titus Young.
Yeah.
So all the guys that we were pulling last year, one of those guys, or maybe a handful of those guys, are going to have a breakout season. I mean, that's like the next crop of talented receivers coming up. So definitely keep a lookout. And right now, if you're gonna buy some of those guys, right now is the time. Get it right before the season starts and wait for them to bust out.
Did you hear about the kickoff redemption thing at local card stores? You hear what Topps is doing?
I have not.
You heard any rumblings about that? Well, basically what's happening.
Tell me more, Doug.
Tell me more.
So
basically there's these kickoff redemptions that are in I don't know if they're in hobby packs, but I know for sure they're in jumbo because we opened up a jumbo case of Topps Football 2012. And I think we, in a whole case, I think we got about 30. So they're running about every other pack. And what it is it's a redemption for you to go into your hobby store and get a pack of some SPs, chances of autographs, and stuff like that from your but it's only your local card store that you can turn these in. Well, they basically, the card itself says you can't go in before the 5th of September. So it's like basically the first game of the season. And what had been happening is these local card stores got these like last week or even earlier, right? They got boxes of them. Well, some of them were opening these and putting the cards on eBay. So what Topps did is Topps was calling them out on Twitter. So they were going out there and saying, hey, you know, the bungalow cards in New York, why are you selling these cards? Or going after, you know, just basically blatantly calling these hobby stores out saying, hey, what are you doing? These are for your customers. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. I think it's a cool thing that they're doing. I didn't know they had the time for that, but, you know, it's cool that they're actually trying to protect that and keep people from selling these on eBay in the secondary market.
Thing is, I mean, you know, you understand the margins, and imagine, I mean, we looked into like having a shop ourselves, and I mean, it's hard to sustain an income. So, I mean, those card shops are like looking at that and going, well, I can sell these and, you know, make my rent.
It's
true. I mean, it's like, I mean, at that point, I mean, you got to think, I mean, what they're getting right there, it's a promotional deal. It's, you know, they sell them, it's 100% profit. I know it's not good for, you know, collectors and their customers, but they may be looking at their bottom line with like, hey, man, I sell these cards. I could exist for another 3 months.
It's true. I do see both sides.
I mean, let's face, I mean, the margin, and I mean, I know I'm giving away a little bit more information than I probably should, but, you know, that's how we roll. We're transparent. But, I mean, margin on this stuff is sometimes, when it first comes out, I mean, it can be like 10 to 15 points.
Right.
And if it doesn't take off, then it just starts getting sold at below cost, so you end up losing money. And if it does take off, if you want to get more, even distributors jack up their price to where you're paying market value on it.
Absolutely.
So everybody's looking to pull an extra dollar here and there, where somebody at some point is going to get left out of the chain.
Yep.
And I think I probably already talked about this before, but, you know, it's really, really difficult to sustain a brick and mortar storefront and just be able to not even make a profit, just break even. So, I mean, I could see these card shops getting these and going, you know what, promotional, like, you know, I'll give it to some customers, but I'm going to try to, you know, make an extra like $500-$600 here.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what the allocation was on how many they shipped out to each hobby store, but I know that some hobby stores are saying that they were only going to give them to people that bought packs in their store. I mean, because you could basically buy a lot off of eBay and then go to your local card store and say, I got like, you know, 30 of these, and you didn't even spend any money at that guy's store. So
yeah,
that I believe in. I think overall, the intention of Topps was to get people in to spend more money than you would get from these packs, but you know, I can see where business is a little slow. I don't know what rent is in other states, but I know in California, by looking at retail locations, I think we figured we'd have to sell like 50 to 60 cases a year to sustain and even just eat, not even make a comfortable living. So it rents here are very high, and having just a card shop that just sells cards is very, very, very difficult. You'd probably have to sell Magic, memorabilia, all that other stuff around here in California. Now, I don't know if it's different in Texas or New York or whatnot, but
I mean, there's ways of doing it. I mean, you got to have a strong internet presence, get hip to the eBay, get hip to check out my cards. I mean, if I had a shop, I'd definitely have a bunch of cards up there. It's like a storefront, always open, like just 24 hours a day. There'd be a lot of things that you'd have to do. It's not easy by any means. It would be at least 60, 70, 80 hours a week.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. And I think maybe that's where a lot of these guys do struggle, is that they don't use the internet. I mean, we talked to the guy we were thinking about buying a store. So the money situation didn't line up right. But, I mean, he didn't do any internet presence. And he basically rode the wave in the 80s and 90s and never changed his business strategy. And I think that's the biggest fall of a lot of these local card stores is they're not being unique. They're burnt out. The industry's changed so much and passed them by that they don't even really want to learn it. It's kind of like my grandpa on an iPhone. He's not going to buy an iPhone. He didn't even use a debit card because 40 years ago, that's in his heyday, he didn't use that stuff. So
I'd like to know what the margins were back in the 80s and early 90s when cards were being mass produced like crazy. I wonder if the margin was like 30, 40 points.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, remember 80, obviously 89 Upper Deck, they made tons and tons of it, right? I remember going into stores and like at that time, like maybe, you know, 89, maybe 90, buying packs for like $6.
Right.
$6 was a lot of money back then. I sound like I'm super old, but like, I remember when $6 would buy. Come on.
Yeah,
but $6 back then was a lot. Like now, I mean, you buy a pack of cards, it's like $450. I mean, if you go with like NT or you go with Five Star, but $6 back in the day was a lot of money. I mean, you figure those cards, they produced so many of them, they had to be. It was probably like $40 a box.
You would think, you know, that's a good thing to do is to actually compare margins from now. It'd be nice to go to a local card store and see if they remember what they paid for stuff and just compare the margins from now until from then until now and see, you know, what the profit was. That'd be an interesting little article, actually. So maybe
it would.
Maybe somebody can do that or maybe we can do it. But that'd be cool. Yeah. Now, we talked about that. And now this is another thing that haunts hobby shops and people like us is allocation. And for those that don't know allocation, most people probably don't. I'll kind of explain it as in layman's as possible without using too much industry jargon. But basically, when people, hobby stores, people like us that do breaks, when they order a product, we have to order it 4 to 5 months in advance before it comes out. So basically, you have to be on a – most of the time you're on a whim if this product's going to do good or not. So you don't know if you want to order 2 cases, 3 cases, 1 box, 2 box because you don't know if it's going to sell. Our business is a little different because it's breaks. But from a store standpoint, I could see where it would be extremely hard to order 3 to 4 cases because you just never know. So you have to get in early. And what allocation is Topps will say, okay, well, you guys – they go to the distributor and they say, okay, you guys sold 100 cases – well, we're only going to give you 40. So your original order that was placed, which they don't collect any money 4 months in advance. They collect it on the day of release. And they say, okay, well, now you're only going to get 40% of your order. So if you ordered 10 cases, you're only going to get 4 cases. So you have to kind of adjust your projections. Now, the biggest thing right now is Bowman Draft. It's been the craziest allocation that anybody has seen in recent years.
It's been like, what, 10%?
I think it's like 6 to 1 or higher than that. You're right. You might be right. Yeah. It might be 10%. I think we ordered 3 cases. I think we're getting 3 boxes, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it's going down? So, yeah. And I don't even think they're justifying the hobby numbers now. So before it was a lot of times what Topps will do is if they have a hobby and a jumbo product, the jumbo is somewhat what they call HTA, which is home team advantage. They will make you order for every hobby case that you buy. Then you can get a jumbo case because they figure the money's in the jumbo case. The money's in the jumbo cases. So they're not even doing that now. They're not even making you buy things. They're just completely allocating Bowman Draft. So we think the boxes
– Not Bowman Draft jumbo.
Jumbo. Yeah, let me clarify.
Hobby, there's going to be enough of it to go around. Don't worry. But the jumbo – is going to be hard to come by. I mean, the jumbo is going to be $350, $400 on the open market.
Yeah. So if you can get a box to $150 to $200 right now, if somebody's selling it on eBay, I would buy it. The only worry is
they're probably not. You're probably not getting it. Like, be honest. I mean, if anybody's selling it that cheap, they're probably not going to get it. Meaning you're not going to get it.
Right. And there's a 90-day policy on eBay, so you definitely need to watch out for that. But I think that – I don't know. What do you think Topps is doing with this? Is this a strategy to make more money, or why did they produce so little of the jumbo?
I don't know. We've talked about this. I mean, there's a lot of things in the industry where it's hush hush, and you know, it's on a need to know basis. And for what we're doing and what most hobby shops on the outside, it's not a need to know basis. So I mean, Topps may be holding on to some of this stuff. I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to build interest, and they're trying to add value to certain products by holding it back and making it more limited. It obviously adds value to a product. So they may just be trying to add value to their product and your name and create a buzz.
That's what I'm thinking. But if you put this at an outsider looking in, let's just say this was a, let's just say we pre-ordered some cars, right? Like automobiles, right? And somebody came up to you and go, how many are you going to order? That's like ordering 100 cars without even – we don't even know who's on the sell sheet. Bowman Draft has not even came out. We assume it's going to be first rounders from last year, right?
Yeah.
There's not even a sell sheet of this stuff, and it's already sold out. It's ridiculous. It's like –
we do that with – I mean, everybody does that with every product.
I know. It's just if you look at it from a consumer –
We committed to like 6 cases of 5-stars selling at what, like $500 a box? And we didn't know what – we only knew it was 5-star.
Right.
I mean, it could basically get here and it could be like $500 box with like $4 worth of cards in it.
With like a piece of poop in there.
And we had no idea. And everybody just jumped on it. I mean, to the point where like people are going to be scrambling for that at $500-$600 a box. And we invested thousands and thousands of dollars on something that we have no idea what the product's going to be.
Yeah.
We're just assuming. Like, we've seen photoshopped images of cards that may or may not be inside the product. It's all hearsay. And we invested thousands of dollars into, I like to say, smoke and mirrors. We don't know.
From the outsider looking in, it almost looks like just a dumb decision. It's kind of like it does. I mean, it's kind of like somebody came up to your door and said, "Here, give me $2,000, and you're gonna get something cool." And like, they're not even gonna tell you what it is. Just give the guy a couple $1,000 and just hope that you get something that's cool. That's kind of what it is. I mean,
it's kind of like a door-to-door salesman coming up and knocking on your door and going, "Give me $1,000, and I'm gonna give you something that you're gonna like."
Right.
You're gonna like it. It may not be worth $1,000. But you know what? It may be worth more than $1,000, but more than likely it's probably not. But you can, I'll give it to you for $1,000. It's in this box. Here you go.
And then you go, "Well, what's in it? I don't know. I can't tell you that."
Well, they're all, open it up. Let's see. And then you open it up and you're like, "Sweet. The set of knives."
Awesome. Yeah.
Those are good knives. Those knives are worth $200. Well, I just gave you $1,000 for them. Yeah, it's business, man. That's the way it goes.
Well, you could have got a $1,500 Cutco knife, but
but they're like, in this other box over here, I have a 24-karat solid brick of gold. Could have got that one, but
yeah,
you didn't.
You didn't, exactly. It's
you got the gold-plated kazoo.
Yeah, it's hard to, from a business standpoint, on their point, I mean, holding it back would definitely make sense, because then they can release some at the beginning. And then they see that it, you know, they did pre-orders at, let's just say, I don't even know what the pre-order was on Bowman Draft. Let's just say, for example, it was 120 to dealers. I don't think it's that, but that's just the number I threw out. So they hold it back for, you know, they see the product take off and within a week, and now they're selling them to dealers for 180. And that was their strategy. So now they made $60 more per box over something that they allocated. So I don't know if they're doing that, but it would obviously make more sense from a financial standpoint to just hold some product back and then wait till it's hot. But on the flip side, it can kill you, because
we'll see, because this was allocated so strongly that if after it's released, you really should not see much of it.
Right.
There shouldn't be a lot of it out there. If we start seeing this stuff pop up everywhere, somebody was being shady and holding some stuff back.
Yeah.
Because we ordered 3 cases of hobby just to get 3 boxes of jumbo. If I'm not mistaken, we are going to get 36 boxes of hobby and 3 boxes of jumbo.
Right.
So there should not be a lot of this stuff out there. If you start seeing tons and tons of breaks on this stuff, somebody was holding some stuff back and then selling it when the market went up.
Right.
meaning that would basically tell me that Topps holds on to stuff and then they basically let it out to the distributors. The distributors pay more money for it, but they know they can sell it for more money. I'm pretty sure that like the Bowman Draft Jumbo, it was about the same price as Bowman Jumbo.
Probably, yeah. So it's probably like around 100 a wholesale pre-order 4 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, without giving up too much information, but
no, we're giving up tons of information.
No, we're not. Like, we're transparent. We don't need anything to hide. And you can basically figure this out on your own if you wanted to anyway. But
like I said before, I mean, if you go on eBay, you can get stuff a lot of the times for $2, $3, $4 what basically over what 4 month pre-sale boxes are going for.
The only thing that worries
boxes that we ordered 4 months ago are being sold for $4, $5 over what we paid. I mean, I don't know how people do it. I honestly don't. I don't know how.
Well, you know, and sometimes I worry, you know, because I've bought some boxes off of eBay and stuff, and you know, I mean, there is a lot of variables. But if somebody opens up a case and they get a Super Fractor one box in, you know,
or anything that has like big RPAs and stuff like that. I mean,
the case hit, then they go, okay, well, I'm not going to get a card that's going to be.
And people could like open up case after case, take out every box and wham.
Yeah.
And they could probably figure out which one has like an RPA in it and which one doesn't. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that you can do that. And I know I'm not saying people should do that, because that's bad etiquette, and we don't promote that. But buying stuff on eBay, you just don't know who you're dealing with.
You don't. I mean, and there is a flip side. There's big redemptions in some products too. So if somebody did feel them out or do stuff like that, that they would, you know, they could potentially miss out on like a, you know, big redemption of Hank Aaron or something like that. But
that is true though. I mean, what if somebody opens up a case of Bowman Draft and they pull a Super Fractor first box? Well, it's not saying that you're not going to get another big hit in there, but let's face it. I mean, you're more than likely probably not going to.
You're not going to get another Super Fractor.
You're not going to get another Super Fractor. So,
that's the only problem with selling boxes, buying from people on eBay, is that they may have.
And there's probably people out there who do buy tons and tons and tons of stuff, pre-sell everything, open until they hit something worth value, yeah, and they start unloading the rest of the boxes.
So, I mean, you established online retailers like Blowout and DA Card World, you know that that's not going down. So that's the only problem with dealing with it.
They have nothing invested in it.
Right.
They're not selling individual cards, so they don't really care if you pull something great. I mean, they just want to move their boxes and cases.
Now, talking more about Topps, it seems like 3 weeks, but they named number four from Finest. Finest has five rookie redemption autographs that are pretty rare to pull. I think they're one in like 30 cases. It's hard to get one. And they named number four, which was Josh Rutledge.
Couldn't be a better guy.
He is batting 320. He plays for the Rockies. He is batting 327, seven home runs. He's played in 45 games. The one thing he does have going for him is only auto that he has is from 2010 Elite. So he doesn't have a licensed auto, and this one will be on card, but it's no Manny Machado or Mike Trout or there's a handful of other guys that I can name that would be of value.
Profar.
Yeah, Profar. Profar is a good name.
I mean, it could have been worse. I could name some guys. Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Rockies guys don't sell well, except unless it's Tulo, and Tulo doesn't really sell for that much either.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what the strategy was. We pulled the number three in one of our breaks, which wound up being Mike Trout. Well, when we pulled it, they'd only named Starling Marte, so number two, number three had not even been named.
And like the next day after we busted it, they named Brett Jackson.
They named Brett Jackson on that Monday. We busted on a Sunday, and then on Thursday, they named Mike Trout. So they named two guys within the matter of 4 days. So, and that was back on the 18th of August. It's now September 7th, and they named number four. So I don't know what – I mean, are they waiting for somebody to sign the contract? Are they – maybe they're waiting for the cards to be live. I actually figured it was just September call-ups. Maybe they're going to see somebody bust it out and they're going to throw it in there, but I don't
know. Rutledge has been up for a while.
He has been up for a while, so maybe those cards are already live. I haven't done enough research on that to see that, you know, maybe that they're live already, and that's why they waited.
And I was really, really banking on the fact that it was probably going to be Manny Machado. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But they decided maybe number five would be Manny Machado. Go out and pick him up. But they name Hector Sanchez or something. Don't come at me.
Yeah, we thought number four was going to be Machado, and we actually invested in one. At least we only bought one, but we paid $150 for it. So probably not going to get $150 back. So, you know, mark that as money lost.
But, yeah, and that I'll take blame. That was my fault.
No, I thought too. It's both of our. It was
you. I had a hell of a sales pitch on it though.
Yeah, I was convinced it had to be somebody good too, because they took so long to name it, and two, there was very few on eBay. So
I'm not hating on Josh Rutledge. I just wish it wasn't Josh Rutledge.
Yeah, and people watch 2 years from now, he becomes like the MVP, and people, you know, archive this podcast and be like, oh, these guys didn't know anything. Should have held on to their Josh Rutledge.
I think we will be holding on to it.
I think so too. Are we gonna we're gonna redeem it? Is that the next step?
I'm gonna redeem it. It's gonna be the official card of Mojo Break.
Well, before we get into break, I wanted to tell you guys to check out MojoBreak.com and use promo code Mojo September, and that's gonna get you 15% off. We got tons of stuff on the site. We're doing a lot of single box breaks. So if you haven't taken the leap and you go, hey, I don't know if I want to do group breaks, I'd rather buy packs. Well, you can get into a box break as cheap as a pack. We have breaks starting at $5. We got a Rookies and Stars one up there right now we're breaking tonight. It's pretty much going to be filled. You probably won't hear this, but there'll be another one. We're going to be doing Elite box break. So there's something for everybody on the site. There's Prime Hockey up there, four box break of Prime Hockey. There's Platinum Football coming out next week. We just added five stars. So if you like creme la creme, five star baseball 2012, it's going to be sweet. There's triple threads up there. If you can't find something and you like cards on our site, then there's something wrong with you. That's all I got to say. So, but this podcast definitely sponsored by mojobreak.com. So once again, Mojo September, all one word, all lowercase. That's going to get you 50% off your purchase. We're going to head into break, play this jam. We're going to be back with a little bit more news, and then we're going to just kind of hit up on some of the products that have came out and just say what we like best about them and what we hate. Which one sucks sacks, basically.
Are you talking about Finest Football? sorry. I kind of spaced out, and then I just – you said products that suck sack, and I just was thinking Finest Football.
Yeah, that definitely does came to line. You kind of led him into the next segment. So you'll hear our suck sack segment, and you'll hear what's good about it too. So we'll be right back after this jam.
Yeah.
back after that jam. Check out mojobreak.com once again. And I wanted to talk about some top cards, some most watched cards right now. It seems like trending as of today. We got Andrew Luck, a 1/1 is being watched. It's 430 watchers on a Topps Finest Andrew Luck 1/1 Auto Jumbo Relic Super Fractor. This is courtesy of Cardboard Connection. They have the most watched eBay auctions, and that's the top at 430 watchers, and it's got 60 bids right now, and it's currently at $5,407.
That's some coin right there.
That is a lot of Skrilla, for sure.
And it's a patch auto, right?
Yeah, it's a patch auto super fractor. Barely two color though, believe it or not, on a 1/1 super fractor. But
wow.
Yeah, and then it's kind of populated by, believe it or not, Fleer Retro. Fleer Retro Michael Jordan Precious Metal Gems number 20 of 50 has 224 watchers. It's up to $2,550. You know, I must have totally missed the ball game on these cards, so I'm going to show my lack of knowledge on this. It's not autoed. I don't know what the – I mean, it's – I don't know what the hit is with these ones, but
– Is it a buyback?
It doesn't say the year on this auction, but the one below it is a 11/12 Upper Deck Fleer Retro Red, numbered to 150, and that's numbered to 1,300 – or that's selling for 1,325 with 22 bids. 162 watchers. So I don't think it's a buyback because he's in North Carolina. So,
Yeah, we were talking about that a couple days ago. Upper Deck did buy Fleer.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I know these cards. I know these cards sold for a lot then, but this is a 2011-2012 version. I don't see what the with a non-auto, you know. I don't know. I don't know what the big catch is for, but I guess that's kind of good for the hobby. If a card that doesn't have an auto or a jersey on it and it's numbered to 150 and it's going for $1,300, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, that ain't bad. I mean, it is Jordan.
Yeah, and then right below it, LeBron James, 17 bids, 145 watchers. This one's up to 5,000. It's numbered to 10. Fleer wow. Retro Precious Metal Gems Green, 8 of 10. It's up to 5,000. It only has 145 watchers, but pretty ridiculous on those cards. You know, I don't know what
maybe we missed the boat on that that Fleer product.
Yeah, you know they pushed it back a couple times, and I didn't really see much sell sheets on it. And you know, frankly, we can't buy Upper Deck, obviously, so I kind of passed on it. But definitely seeing it here on the secondary market, and then. Robert Griffin 1/1 Black Refractor from Topps Finest is currently with 3 days left. It's up to $22.50.99. You know, you got to make sure you add the 99 cents, and it's got 144 watchers with 35 bids. So there's a lot of activity on the secondary market right now, shown by this, and it's a good thing. I mean, it's good
to see that from a Finest card. Finest is struggling a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to get into the suck sacks, as we said before the break. and Finest will be included in that conversation. But it does look like you can hit a home run. It's very hard, but you can hit one. So September call-ups. I know a few guys that have been called up. Jerkson Profar is a big name that got called up, and he hit a home run in his first at-bat. So that was pretty exciting. Shelby Miller.
And he's been a highly touted like prospect for a while.
Yeah, and I believe he's only like 19, so he's still got a lot of youth. So,
but he was in 2010 Elite.
Yes, yeah, 2010 Elite. He had the funky auto that looked like hieroglyphics on the card on the sticker.
Yeah.
So, couple other guys. Shelby Miller got called up. His cards haven't jumped up too high yet. Maybe after a few starts, I think he came out of the bullpen yesterday. So. I don't know what they're doing with him. Maybe just giving him a cup of coffee right now, and they plan on putting him in the rotation next year. But you know,
just added a little bit depth to their bullpen. Probably. I mean, that's what they did with Timmy back in the day when he got first called up. He went to the bullpen.
Yeah. It's
fairly common for starting pitchers when they get their first call up, they go, you know, spend September in the bullpen.
Yeah, just get him a little bit of MLB experience. Chris, you know, Chris Medlin from Bowman. He plays for Team Bowman. Plays for the Braves, and his cards are trending. He's this month. He's 4-0 with a .5, and he's a relief pitcher. So relief pitchers usually don't pick up steam, but his cards have jumped up a little bit. He's in 2006. Bowman was his first card, so people are starting to kind of collect him as the playoffs loom at the end of this month. So.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing last time the Giants played the Braves. I think I remember seeing him come out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he's pretty nasty, if I remember correctly. He shut us down easily. And people are starting to buy football. It looks like Nick Foles from the Eagles is trending a little bit. And of course, Russell Wilson, which we talked about. So it right now we're like basically in our heyday for sports cards. I mean, the start of football season and the end of baseball season, I would say, you know, not to be biased for hockey and basketball, but I would say this is the busiest time for the hobby.
Speaking of, you know, a little off topic here, but Dominion Hockey comes out in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. And, they just pre-sailed like last minute, so we're definitely going to be doing breaks of that. But that's
that's a six hits, which is a pretty killer product. I think it is every year.
It is, and I see people like Clouts and Chara doing breaks like all year of that stuff. So it's definitely a hit, and it has a lot of value. So yeah, look for us to do some Dominion. Well, we don't know how much, but we definitely will do some.
We'll do probably at least a case. I think it's a six box case.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be doing that. And it looks pretty sweet. And, you know, Prime Hockey was a sleeper. I mean, it was $200 a box. They said you were only going to get three hits. It wound up being five hits. And it was a lot of color, great autographs, great collation of legends and vets and rookies and all across the board. And it sold out from Panini. Those Prime ties are starting to show up. They were redemptions that were in the pack, but they already had them all, so they shipped them right away. People are starting to get those, and, man, what a great concept for a card, for a hockey card. I mean, I'm surprised no one had done it before. I mean, that is like the bat knob of baseball right there. That is like a whole chunk of the sweater plus all the ties from the sweater. I mean, that is...
Yeah, but it wasn't until recently where they actually, all the teams have the ties.
Oh, really?
They were cut like V-neck style with like the elastic... around, so I mean, a lot of the teams didn't have the tie up,
and some of them still don't. If I know correctly, some of the teams don't have ties. It's only a few of them that have certain types of ties that do.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, the Rangers have always had it. There's been a handful of teams. I mean, I'm not a huge hockey buff, but there's been a handful of teams that have always had it. Definitely the older teams, but I know like the Sharks didn't have it, and I think they have it now. I think they have it on their black jersey.
Yeah, I need to go check. I should check my Choo Choo jersey.
Yeah, your Choo Choo jersey doesn't have it. It's like the new, like within the last couple of years, they had that black like alternate jersey that has the tie.
Ah, yeah, and I know the Canadiens jerseys, the alternate, have the ties as well. So
yeah, so I don't think, and a lot of hockey teams pretty much have their home away, and they all have like an alternate now, and I think that's new within 4 or 5 years.
Nice. Yeah, it's definitely a great concept. The more color we can get in cards, the more variety rather than single color patches, just to make patches more valuable, because I think everybody chases the autos these days. So to make these huge jumbo patches is kind of bring.
Well, and the hockey, sorry to cut you off, but the hockey logos, like the patches on a hockey sweater are intense. I mean, there's no other sport that has anything quite like that, so it's definitely cool.
Definitely, and it's definitely bringing sexy back to memorabilia, because people complain, especially people complain about, you know, no color and stuff like that. I think we've been spoiled with certain sets having a lot of color, and then you get like a Ginter set that doesn't have any color at all, and people complain that shouldn't be a hit or whatever. So, you know, these companies, hockey has colorful jerseys. I mean, compared to baseball, there's a lot more going on a hockey jersey, so you're able to do stuff like that. Plus, with hockey, they got the sticks that have lettering on there, and there's just a lot of different stuff going on with hockey players' jerseys, memorabilia, helmets that they can do with cards, which is great. So,
yeah, exactly.
Have you heard about these diamond cards that Panini's doing?
No.
It's pretty sweet. It's coming out in Momentum. They didn't have it on the sell sheet. It's definitely a late addition that they just kind of pushed out on social media, pictures of it. It's guys that have earrings, and the earring is a real diamond, encrusted studs, basically. So shown here in the seven cards that they have that they tweeted is Mike Vick, Titus Young, Aaron Hernandez, Hines Ward, Ocho Cinco, and T.O. And T.O. is on the Cowboys, which is weird. But
cause Ocho, I figured it was going to be T.O., though.
Yeah, and Ocho Cinco is on the Dolphins. So, and then Glenn Dorsey from the Chiefs. So that's the seven they show here. I don't know if there's going to be more, but those are the ones that they featured. But it's kind of a little cool little concept. You know, everybody's kind of gold standard. They had the gold, Topps doing the gold. Everybody's kind of going with these valuable materials.
What product is this again?
Momentum,
nice.
Which is slated to come out next week. Who knows if it actually does or not, but it's been pushed back several times, just like Panini Cooperstown. That would be my biggest complaint about Panini right now, and you feel me, because we talk about this off the air, is that they can't seem to get their release dates correct, and I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's waiting for autographs, things happen, but it is...
Well, we know that has a lot to do with it, is waiting for the autographs, and, you know, they're really, really trying to put out a quality product, and they're not trying to load products up with redemptions anymore. So I think they rather just not worry about the release date and get a product that they're proud of.
Yeah, and we see it with Topps. I think that's why we talked about Topps having a strategy of not releasing the checklist, because if they don't release a checklist, they don't have to put redemptions in there. Because if you release a checklist and it says George Brett's going to be in this product, and then the product comes out and you're like, oh, George Brett's written. Now they're forced to put George Brett in there, even if George Brett didn't get the autographs back to Topps. So Topps' strategy is like, we're not going to release a checklist until a couple weeks before, or they're going to release a preliminary that only has like 10 subjects, so they know that these guys are going to be in the product. So now it looks like, oh, Topps doesn't do any redemptions because they have these, you know, these guys in there. So, and I think it's a little bit easier with baseball. With football, they have the rookie premier guys, so they absolutely have to have all of them in the product. So if some of them don't sign certain cards, they got to put them in there as redemptions. So it's definitely tough, and I think that would be the biggest holdup on these Panini products, is they don't want to put out a product that has, you know, out of the 100 autos that are in there, they have 20 redemptions. They just don't want to do that. So they're pushing it back, but it's just I would like a little bit more clarity for the consumer. Just, you know, Topps is on point, and Panini pushes a lot of stuff back. And we see a lot of products from Panini being released. They put out the sell sheet, and they're all being released on the same day. Now, we know that they're not going to release two football or two baseball products on the same exact day. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so one of them's getting pushed back.
Right, or both. Who knows? So it's just frustrating. They're doing a great job, and I know their intentions are not to push it back, like you just said, but, you know, it's just... Maybe give themselves a 3-week buffer. Let's try not to push it, you know, that much, that farther out. And sometimes it probably does run up against Topps, so they don't want to release a football product against Topps either. They want to have it on the other week, so they move it back or whatnot. So there's a strategy there, I'm sure. So
yeah,
Ginter released. Moving on to baseball and Topps, Ginter released their artifacts. These things were really rare. I think there's only 5 cards in the whole entire Ginter 2012, and it's all it says on the card itself was, redeem this card to receive your Topps Allen and Ginter artifacts card containing an unusual artifact from the past. That's what the card says. So they finally released what is going to be in these cards. And I'm going to struggle saying some of these names because they're old, but it's card number one is a Karchadarn Megalon Tooth. 10 million years old.
I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, I don't even think I said it right. It's a tongue twister. Karchadarn Megalodon Tooth. I'm assuming it's like a dinosaur or something. Maybe a Homo sapien or an Australopithecus. Maybe.
They could have just called it a mega tooth.
But then people think they would get Calvin Johnson's tooth. No, it's probably from. It looks like it's, you know, something from a dinosaur ish. It's 10 million years old. So that's card number one. Card number two is a bronze coin, which is a lot easier to say than card number one, and that's from the Roman Empire. And card number three is going to be another hard one to say. It's a Cleanonoceros species fossil. That one is 120 million years old. Card number four is a Native American stone point, 500 to 9,000 years old. So that one's probably the worst hit you can get based on age. And a Neolithic stone point is card number five, which is, 3,000 to 8,000 years old. So I don't know what these – I don't even know what you could put a value on this thing. I mean, these cards might go for like 20 grand. 10 million years old, that's pretty old.
Dude, yeah, who knows? That's cool. You know, that's tops. Doing something unique.
Yeah,
it's kind of taken what Upper Deck was doing, because I know Upper Deck does crazy stuff like that. I forgot what is it? Is it
Goodwin? I think
Goodwin. And, yeah,
they do those bug redemptions. You know, they have a few bugs in the pack,
so. which is cool. But I mean, this is like taking that to the next step.
Yeah, Ginter is, I mean, there's something in there for everybody. I mean, even if you don't like sports cars and you like nerdy ancient artifacts, I mean, pretty much you could collect it for this. The odds are probably 1 in 95 million packs, but you have a chance. So.
Yeah, I wasn't even really hit to that promotion. I wasn't even really hit to those cards that were in packs.
Yeah, I heard about them briefly, but there's only five of them, so they pretty much, you know, didn't get much, a huge amount of buzz. But those people were probably, I mean, they pulled it. These people probably pulled this like months ago. They've been sitting. I mean, that's worse than the Finest Redemption, wondering what these turned out to be.
Because yeah.
You're sitting on something, you go, this could be, you know, $20,000 card, depending on what they pick. So that's definitely interesting.
Were you able to locate any of the redemptions on eBay?
For Ginter?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really look, but I could definitely, let's just do a real quick look. Ginter 2012.
I'd like to see what people were trying to label them as. Like, super rare. I mean, because you don't know. You truly don't know what it's going to be. But you know people on eBay, they love, like, speculating. I bet somebody put, like, Darvish Auto, Harper Auto.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I guess there was more than we thought. $600 for one artifacts card. It doesn't say which ones they are. 520, 999, 1200, 1000, 1700, 600, 400, 1000. Top of relic. Yeah, I'm gonna see it. No one really got creative. So, you know, 101 question mark, which people do all the time. redemption, extremely rare and historic possibilities. The only number two. So people, it looks like there may have been a few of each one. This was nine completed listings in a span of about 3 weeks. So they are pretty rare, but it looks like there's more than one per, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was nine that sold, so pretty much tells us there's more than five.
God, you're a math genius. Glad I had, you figured that out.
unless people were getting them and then reselling them, and it was the same cards that sold multiple times.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, I know that happened with certain cut autographs I've seen before, so it's definitely a possibility. Well, I wanted to get into kind of reviewing some of the products of last month. There was a lot of them. It was a busy August. Tons of stuff came out, and we're just going to kind of hit on all of them. I got sportscardradio.com up here, which is pretty much the mecca for all things product. You can find everything about products on sportscardradio.com. Beginning of August, Topps Football came out, 2012, their flagship. What did you think about it? We busted a six-box case of Jumbo. Let me hear some of your thoughts on Topps Jumbo Football.
It's a lot of cards, bro.
Definitely a lot of
cards. It was good. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you go into a case like that, and you don't have the highest expectations, but you do know it is a good value. I mean, there's definitely value there. There was those breast cancer awareness pink kind of sparkly cards. I think they were numbered to what, 199 or 299 or something like that.
I think it was
$399. That was a pretty cool little addition. And I know the luck goes for a little bit of money, and probably the RG3 goes for a little bit, and definitely a cool little little subset that would be cool to collect. But you know, I mean, it is what it is. The cards look clean, but they looked kind of like what they look like every year. It's like when you're busting Topps Chrome year after year. It's pretty much all the same thing with a couple added twists in it. But with Topps football, Topps baseball, just the Topps like general set that they put out every year, great value because you get a lot of cards.
Definitely. I mean, they had a few new additions this year. They had the Tall Boys, which a lot of people are in love with. I don't really care for them personally.
I wasn't a huge fan of those.
I didn't see the Tall Boy autos. I mean, I've seen them on eBay. We didn't get one in person, so maybe that would sway my opinion. They did the military camo border, which is number to $399, along with the pink that was number to $399. Yeah, I don't know if I'm a fan of adding more numbered cards because it seems like it does devalue numbered cards in general from the set, but the pink breast cancer awareness, people are doing that for charity, so it does give a reason. So I do like that idea. Anything we can do to give back to boobies, you know, and protect them and make sure that they still stay on chests, which is a good thing. there was a 440-card base set, so it's nice to collect, you know, for people that buy packs and Target.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was really, really hard to pull that we didn't see, so it's hard to – I mean, they have game-winning drives. It was retired veteran quarterbacks are awarded film strips representing game-winning drives, numbered to 10. So yeah. it's like negative film strips of famous game-winning drives. I mean, that would be a really cool card to see. I haven't seen one. I bet they're on eBay, but they're only numbered to 10.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at that now. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
That's a killer idea.
Yeah, and I actually thought Panini came up with the film strip idea, but it looks like it's well, I don't know if Topps did either. I don't know who beat who, but it looks like they're both doing that. you know, it definitely is. Like, I mean, it's you can only have so many ideas, so I don't blame them for doing things at the same time. But you know, they had like prolific playmakers auto patches. They had a lot of stuff to do. You probably won't get in a case. You have to be like a Brent and Becca, and you know, bust a lot of cases to see the stuff. But if you do get it, it's a big payoff. But in general, I think it's a great value. But like you said, it is what it is. It's not going to excite people like us that do breaks, you know. But it is – I would buy a pack in Target. You know, as a kid, it's a great set to kind of collect, and there's going to be a lot of variety within the checklist. So I think they did a
pretty good job. I'd go into my LCS and spend $7-$8 a pack on it and not have an issue with it.
It's a good
value. I mean, you get a lot of cards. I mean, you can't complain when you get 50 cards a pack.
And they had the hobby promotion, the kickoff, where you could get special packs if you do go in your local card store. So they definitely did a lot of things. They put a lot of thought in this set, and it definitely shows. So
it's hard for us because we only do one case, but I mean, there's so much stuff that is really, really hard to pull it's very, very cool. I mean, this is a mass produced product. There is tons and tons of it out there, but I mean, there's like quarterback rookie reprint cards, stuff like that. I mean, this is all like really hard stuff to pull. I mean, It is definitely good. If you get really, really lucky, you can pull something really, really big. But just like Top Series 1 baseball and Top Series 2 baseball, it's kind of the same concept. You can pull something really, really big. They're few and far between, but there's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, for sure. And moving on to a product of Tops that we, you know, I'm going to jump right into the Suck Sacks product because, you know, we went from good to bad. So we'll move on to good. So you got to hit him with the positive and negative and then go positive after that. So I'm going to hit him with Topps Finest Football. Just really missed the mark in our opinion. I know there's some big patch autos in there, but if you ever had Kool-Aid, if you ever had, you know, maybe half a little bit of Kool-Aid left, like half in a pitcher, and you had five friends that wanted to drink Kool-Aid, so you just put more water in it. That's what they did here. They had a certain amount of product and they said, all right, well, we have a lot of demand based on last year. So what we're going to do?
They just did such a good job last year with it.
Well, they knew it was going to be a hit. So what they did is they watered it down and they made the autos numbered to 1353, which is just, I mean, insulting, honestly.
I think there was I think there were some guys that were higher than 1353.
Yeah, I think there was up to 1500. So, I mean, at that point, let's just not even number them. I mean, I'm just a guy that busts packs. I do see a lot of product, but I mean, come on, 1500. I mean, let's
But what they did is, in the long run, what all they're doing is like just devaluing their higher end products.
Yeah.
I mean, you would get an RPA. I mean, practically the same thing, same patch you would get out of a 5-star product. And I've already talked about this, but I got to talk about it again. Same patch you get out of a 5-star product you'd spend $400 for.
Yeah.
They put that same patch in a card that the box costs about, what? I mean, what are boxes? Like $90, $95 now?
Yeah.
And they number it to 1356. Well, they number the 5-star to probably 99.
Right.
But it's the same. The memorabilia piece is the same. I mean, 1353, and it's like some of them are like three colors. You're like, and it's like a nasty patch, and you're just right. Like, what is going on? Like, do you guys like not appreciate and respect your higher end products? Like, you're just trying to water it down and just devalue. I mean, what they're doing is they're hurting themselves by doing it. They are devaluing their own product.
Yeah, which we pulled a Cam Newton last year, number to 25 from the same product, or it was platinum actually. It was single color, number to 25. So do they just randomly? Is there one guy that just randomly picks the pieces and it doesn't matter the numbering? That's what it seems like to me. You know, especially on their finest and platinum products last year, those were the worst examples of multicolored patches. They just they had no rhyme or reason on which went into which. Now, as the year went on and they did, you know, higher-end products and stuff like that, they seemed to get it right. But with these two products...
Look at I know 5-star was kind of rough last year, but look at, like, 5-star. We were how many like, single-color patches did we pull out of 5-star?
Yeah, like, on a $500 a box product, it's just... I mean, you should... At that point, you should almost get, like, a helmet piece or something. Like, just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean... And I basically look at this year's finest, and I'm like... why would I ever buy any more higher end Topps product if they're going to do this?
Yeah, for sure.
I know haters be hating. I'm hating right now.
You gotta be honest. You gotta be honest. We gotta be transparent. We see a lot of products, so we're like food critics. You know, we go out to all the fast food restaurants and we eat
honestly,
a lot of food.
And this is our opinion. That's all it is. It's our opinion. I mean, take it with a grain of salt, but whatever. I mean, it's just us two, but,
on the lighter side of the product, they did do well with the Atomics and, you know, like I mentioned in the most watched, auctions, there's obviously some value there. If you pull one of those big cards, it's just going to be a lot harder than it probably should be, I should say.
No, it is, and I'm sitting here, and I feel bad. I mean, it's not good for us to talk down on a product, especially since we still have some in stock.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know,
I mean, I, you know, I just got to be honest.
Yeah, you're and they probably know after they put it out, and they may not have with the grueling schedule of putting out 25 football releases, they may not be able to put as much effort into every single one. And I understand that. I don't have as much effort to put in everything I do sometimes, and you could see that in life in general. Just if you don't put effort in, it sometimes this happens, and I think that's what happened. But Topps is obviously doing well with baseball, and that's probably what their focus was at the time of when Finest was coming out. So,
well, you got to figure that Finest, they were probably putting the final touches on Triple Threads,
yeah,
sure. Baseball at the same time, and that's their flagship. And I do got to say, I mean, Topps baseball products have been practically home runs all year.
Oh, for sure, and that's you didn't even mean to segue into this, but we're gonna go right into 2012 Topps Chrome, which you just got done doing a two box break on.
Darvish base auto. Don't know if they're short printed or not. I think they go for about $100. So I think they definitely produced enough of them. But you know, in two boxes, I got what, four blue refractors, a black, atomic. And a sepia, and obviously the four autos, and that's in two boxes. You want value? That was value. I mean, it amazing. year in and year out, an amazing product for what it costs per box per case.
Exactly.
You can never go wrong with it. It's 24 packs. It's four cards a pack. You get a chance at color. You get a chance at refractors. It's great for set builders. They're really, really sharp looking cards. On card autos. The auto checklist this year, pretty damn solid. You know, like I said, Topps, when it comes to baseball, they can't do anything wrong. They're just on point.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And yeah, they do look like the base cards themselves look like more, they look more expensive than it is. And you could walk into a local card store and probably get a box for $90 to $100 right now, maybe less. But for two autos, you're guaranteed two autos buying a hobby box. And you're guaranteed probably at least four refractors, like you said. Yeah, that it's even a great product if you only have $30 to go in and buy four or five packs. So, and that, I remember when I used to buy packs, Topps Chrome was one of the products because I knew that there was two autos in there. When you're buying packs, you know, you want the best value. Elite's one of the better values, but it's not licensed. So the other product that I used to do a lot was Topps Chrome because Bowman Chrome and Bowman Draft only have the one auto, so it makes it, you know, the odds are a lot harder of getting something big. But Topps Chrome, year in and year out, on card autos, it's rookies. There's always at least four or five hot rookies, and maybe next year some of these other guys may become bigger. I think it's a great value, great color, and they improve it every year with the Boeing. Last year the Boeing issue was fixed, but the cards weren't centered very well. This mm-hmm. year it seems like they took care of all that. So. You're still not going to get Gem Mint 10s out of the pack. There's still going to be some uncentered cards, but for the most part, you're getting a lot nicer centered cards out of the pack.
But for whatever, let's say you go to a local card shop and you get a box on the high end, let's say it's $75.
Yeah.
You're gonna open that. You're probably gonna, and I've always said, I'm like, if you can bust a box and get half your money back, you did well.
Absolutely.
I think 9 out of 10 times, if you bust a Topps Chrome box at $70, you'll get $35 back for the cards, bare minimum.
For sure.
And anytime, like I said, you can get it. It's definitely a good value. When you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to get 50% of your money back. And there's some stuff that we didn't even pull. I mean, they have a dual autos number to 10. We didn't see any of those in our cases. Yeah. They have the chrome buybacks are rookie cards of stars that never had chrome autos.
Yeah.
Number 10. We didn't see any of those.
Sweet, yeah.
They have, let's see.
The photo variations as well.
There's a photo variations, and there was the cut from the same cloth autographs, and it was two stars on both sides. It's a double-sided card, autoed on both sides.
Yeah, that's a really cool concept.
And those are numbered to 5. I want to say Buster Posey has one, and he's on it with
Maurer, I think, right?
Maurer, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's a great set, and I've busted a few personal boxes. It's a set that I like to do. So, but moving on to I think the last thing we're going to talk about as far as products came out a couple weeks ago is Rookies and Stars Football. We did a whole case of it. I think my biggest gripe with it last year was the base cards looked very, very cheesy, especially for the price point. I think they improved on that. They had some nice inserts like the pennant flag, which was. At first, I didn't like it, but as I bust more boxes, I'm growing fond of it.
Yeah, that's all you.
You're not a big fan.
No, I'll tell you why. And from a breaker standpoint, it's a major pain in the ass when you're showing off these cards and the pennant card comes slamming down in your lap.
Yeah,
that's nothing that they can do. I'm just
no, just I hear my, what you're saying.
My personal gripe, but.
I have one of those too with all their products lately having cards that are all different ways from a breaker standpoint. When you're doing the slow roll and everything, you want all the cards to be the same way. And Panini products have backwards and frontwards and upside down and in the back. So you guys that watch our breaks too will hear us hear me complain about that. I actually just complained about that yesterday, so I'm going to complain about it again. But I think the
overall. Solid value.
Yeah.
Solid value. for sure. I know we're not talking about value right now, but that's what I do. I talk about value.
No, this is a free for all. We don't have a really standard on it. I'm not doing it like we're not doing it like we usually do. So,
but you did a single box break yesterday of it, and you not only did you get a bonus hit,
yeah,
but you also pulled something that we didn't see in a full case.
Yeah, it was the slideshow autograph, which we just talked about in Tops. It's a rookie premiere slideshow, so it's a photo that they took during the rookie premiere. It actually has a date on it, and it was autographed, and it was Russell Wilson, which is one of the hot ones right now. So it's like a $150, $200 card, and it's a card, and then it has the photo negative in the card, and it's a pretty sweet-looking card. I tweeted out, Tracy Hackler responded back to me. He was saying, yeah, it's one of his favorite, and I thought it was definitely a unique card. I mean, you super collect these guys. I mean, that's going to be one of the cards, your staple, because it's – you know, it's representing his very first pro uniform that he put on. So it's a kind of a monumental kind of thing. So it's definitely cool to have that of your favorite guy or guys from your favorite team. And they're all numbered to 50. It looks like the Nick Toon is numbered to 41. Jarius Wright numbered 47. Maybe they just damaged their autos or something. But that was a cool little set. I mean, it is a rookie-heavy product. You're not going to get a whole lot of veterans, even though they call it rookies and stars. I think it's about 75 or maybe even 85% rookie base, because the veterans in this product are pretty low numbered. So
we did a case. I pulled two vet autos. One out of a case, one out of like a single box. And the vet autos are not stellar. I mean, I had a Ryan Fitzpatrick and a Desmond Briscoe.
Yeah. Desmond Briscoe is
and those are both. I think the vet autos are numbered to 15. Sticker autos. But what I really liked the look of the cards, and I think you were probably going to go over this. I think I might have just stole your stole your thunder. The Crusade cards, the ones with the little like kind of I don't know. The lion design in the background, a little bit thicker cardstock.
Yeah.
I thought those looked pretty damn sick.
Yeah, they looked a little Affliction-esque kind of.
It did. It looked like it had that definitely Affliction type look to it. Something I haven't really seen on a card, and you know, it looks good. It looks good for sure, and I do like how it's a little bit thicker cardstock.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's more like our generation. It hits closer. It's kind of a modern look. I liked it too. It definitely made those cards look like they stepped up to a higher, like a mid-level, higher-end product just by the way they look. So
yeah, when you pull that card, you're not thinking, hey, because Panini Rookies and Stars, this is a product. This is the entry-level product.
Yeah,
this
it's right after Prestige is probably the first, and then
yeah. And then you have rookies and stars. I'd put right on par with Prestige when it comes to like high end, mid range, and low entry level.
Yeah,
And I think basically it starts at obviously like Score and stuff like that, like the stuff that's more towards kids collecting and stuff like that. And then you got Rookies and Stars, Prestige, and slightly above it, you got like Elite, and then it starts getting into the higher end stuff like Absolute. And,
as the season goes on, yeah, for sure, I like it. That's pretty much. There's a lot of stuff coming out next month too that I'm sure we'll be talking about in the next podcast. It looks like Panini Momentum, Upper Deck, the Cup. I don't know if we'll be talking about it or not. We may or may not get some. I don't know. Panini Prestige Basketball is coming out. The big one, mid-month in September, Triple Threads Baseball is going to be huge. I mean, that every year, it pretty much, even when it's at its worst, it's going to be good. So as long as they pretty much copy last year, and it looks like they've added Harper and some bigger name rookies, so it's going to be madness. Come mid-September, in about 2 weeks from now, 11 days from now to be exact, Triple Threads Mania is going to probably run for about a month. So
get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready. And then Panini Prominence comes out after that. If you check out mojobreak.com, we got breaks on all this stuff. Topps Chrome Football comes out beginning of, that looks like November. I skipped ahead a month. October, Prime Football, Certified Football, Topps Update, Panini Threads Football, Bowman Chrome Baseball, Panini Gridiron, Topps Strata, and then ending the month with Topps 5-Star. So the hobby will be busy for the next 2 months. So get ready for it. And like Dan said, get your popcorn ready.
On a completely side note, not even what we're talking about here, Strasburg was shut down officially.
Yeah, I think he – oh, I thought he had one more start, but
– no, they officially shut him down.
Wow, that is crazy. I'm mixed. You know my feeling on it. I see that they want to protect their investment, but I also see the side of, let's go for the World Series while you have a chance. So it's a tough call. But if they can sustain it, they feel like they can. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I wanted to end it out that way. Remember, Mojo September will save you 15% off on mojobreak.com. We'll be back on episode 22. Hopefully we don't have to wait as long, but just that's just how the hobby keeps us so busy. It's hard to find time to do a podcast. So we appreciate you guys kind of waiting for this one. But we'll be back on 22, like I said, hopefully sooner than later, hopefully within the next 2 weeks. But follow us on...
Did you say the next podcast is number 22?
It is.
Wow.
Emmett Smith.
Wonder who we're going to...
Just kidding.
Wonder who we're going to name.
William Nischler?
You just gave it away. I was going to give an extra promo code to somebody who can guess who was going to be.
Well, I didn't say his last name. So if you know what the last name is, what are we gonna do? One time,
I'll do $15 one time.
All right, and that's one time. So first come, first serve. You gotta put his last name in. You gotta put his last name in there.
And his nickname.
And his nickname. All right. While we're on that trail, while we're on that trail, I don't know if anybody listens or knows. Put the name of the band. That is our beginning, when it says Mojo Breaked Up. Put the name of the band, it's two words, so I'll give you a hint. Two words, but put it together, and that'll give you $15 too. So if you know them both, shoot, you might get $30.
$30 right there. That might be a triple thread spot.
That could be, and I'm not going to be able to eat dinner for that. So thank you. No, just kidding. But yeah, the name of the band in our intro and number 22, our favorite number 22, his last name, $15 off. So what that means?
Last name and his nickname.
Oh, you're gonna
everybody.
Put it.
Everybody knows his nickname.
So his last name and his nickname together, all as one.
Yeah.
So is it gonna be his nickname and then his last name?
People are just gonna put everything about him.
Okay. All right. You got to find the right combination. That's how it's gonna work out.
Okay.
So, sweet. All right, so we're...
And where are they going to do this at?
Mojobreak.com, and put it in when you're checking out. You put it, there's a little thing that says, have a coupon code or have a discount code. And you can click yes, and then it drops down a little thing, and you could put it in there, and you'll see the instant saving. So if you do it right, you're going to see, $50. So boom.
All right. Let's just do it easy then. Okay, then, because I didn't know you were going to do the as a coupon code. Last name. Just last name.
Just last name. Okay.
Just last name, because I don't want it to get too good. I thought we were going to do it on the form or something.
But
if it's going to be a coupon code, just the last name.
Okay. Last name, $15. And the name of the band, $15. But the name of the band is two words. That's the band in our intro. And you got to put it together. Smush it together.
Extra, extra bonus.
Bonus. All right, so that's it. That's it. We're going to head out. Like I said, check out mojobreak.com. We got tons of breaks. Check out our YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. We give away free packs pretty much 5 times a week. So right now we're doing Rookies and Stars packs. All you got to do is retweet us. You get thrown into the random, which is the most honest. I'm not going to toot my own horn or our own horn. The most honest contest that's out there. Everybody that retweets gets their name in a random. It's filmed. Whoever wins the random gets the free packs. We send the cards out. Last week, we gave away a Doug Martin auto number to 50, an Andrew Luck jersey. The week before, Robert Griffin jersey, all coming out of the Rookies and Stars, and we did Elite. So even if you don't have any money, you're like, I don't have money, follow us on Twitter, which is mojobreak_com, or Facebook, which is just facebook.com/mojobreak. Just free stuff. We're just giving it away. So check that out.
Just give it away all day.
All day.
All
so,
day.
So with that, we're done. 21 in the books. Thanks for tuning in. We're out. Peace.
Later.
MojoBreak.com.